SFM, jou streek, jou frekwensie, jou musiek.
Kus tot kruin, jou weeklikse blik op die omgewing word met trots geborg deur Sandpiper Cottages Bochum's Bay, want hier gee ons om vir jou en vir die omgewing.
Goeiemôre, Fred Orban hier met julle gewone program Kus tot kruin, dis ons omgewingsprogram waar ons met julle gesels oor die omgewing en vanoggend het ons die goeie guns, kan ons nou maar sê, om Dr. Boel Smits by ons te hê. Ons gaan nou verduidelik wie Dr. Boel Smits is, of Dr. Boel Smits gaan self verduidelik wie hy is. Al wat ek kan sê is, good morning, Dr. Smits.
Goeiemorgen, Fred, dankie vir die geleentheid weer.
Ek sien, jy kan bietjie Engels praat ook. So I think, let us do our program in English this morning. It suits us, and we have listeners from all over the world listening to our program and also tuning in to our podcast when it's available in about a couple of days' time.
That's it, right? I'm comfortable.
Dr. Smits, you're a medical doctor.
Yeah, I started life, actually did my first degree was in biological anthropology and then a medical degree. And I practiced for 10 years, but then went back to university and did a master's degree in environmental management. And I've been working for the last 20 years on essentially greenfields work and particularly species conservation with a focus on leopards.
I must say, looking at you, you don't look like a scientist, but you sound like one. Obviously, we are this morning going to talk about leopards and also other animals that are threatened, under threat and also in danger and have been endangered for many years. And you are involved with the Landmark Foundation. Now, what is Landmark Foundation?
Landmark Foundation is an NGO, and we focus on trying to promote the biodiversity conservation of our landscapes, because we believe that's a fundamental aspect that we must conserve if we are to be a thriving community of humans. And we look at leopards specifically. It's the last remaining top carnivore in the area. And we do six things with them. We try and rescue every individual we can, and we've rescued 73 individuals. We try and research them when we do interact with them.
Yeah.
We try and educate people about their impact on the species. We try and get greater land protection to get habitat access for them. And then, of course, we do advocacy work, and we try and influence market mechanisms that affect the species.
Right, bro. Thanks a lot for that. Our first question after the music. Now we are going to discuss the policy document of the government and also your inputs in that as Landmark Foundation and your the scientific facts.
Word deel van ons Facebookblad vandag nog. facebook.com/SFM.
We are speaking to Dr. Boel Smits of the Landmark Foundation. Boel. And we are speaking about leopards in particular and also some other animals and also about what Cabinet has approved. Apparently, Cabinet has approved the revised policy position on the conservation and sustainable use of elephant, lion, leopard and rhino. Can we discuss that?
Yes, Fred. I mean, we're deeply perturbed by the route that government has taken with that policy and many other legislative instruments that they've drafted of late. It's seemingly that national government has decided that they want to trade themselves out of trouble with these animals by commoditizing them.
Mm.
Now, the one good thing that came out of that policy is a commitment 8 years later to terminate the intensive breeding of lions, but effectively only a partial exit that they're navigating presently. The problem we have with the policy document that was signed off in March was that they have decided that they will push for the commoditization of certain key species. Rhino horn, want to trade rhino horn. Elephant tusks, they want to trade elephant tusks. Yeah. Leopards, they've decided that once a leopard is declared a damage-causing animal, it will be put out for trophy hunting, which the previous legislation have not permitted.
Yeah.
because by the fact that leopards can be, trophy hunts for leopards can be sold for $40,000 will inevitably result that every single leopard in the landscape will be condemned to being a damage-causing animal and be hunted. So we have the situation where rhinos, elephants and leopards are being effectively commoditized, being put out to some sort of bounty, be it through the trading of the tusks or the horn or the leopard hunt, where government believes that making them part of an economy will save them. And our track record over the last 200-300 years, is, in fact, has been exactly the opposite.
I want to, just after the music, just go back into the history of where did all this start and how did it start and where is it going to end if we keep on the way we are doing.
Jy, ja jy, nou dat ons jou aandag het, vertel jou vriende van SFM en ondersteun plaaslik. SFM maak elke dag 'n goed vol dag. SFM.
Yeah, we're speaking to Dr. Boel Smits on our program Kus tot Krein every Thursday at 11:30. Dr. Smits, we are speaking about leopards and other very sensitive and very charismatic animals that are in some people's minds are dying out, and other people, and especially in official circles, thinking that by taking certain steps they're going to save all the species. Tell me, where did all this start, this desire to kill?
Well, we actually sit with a Roman problem in that our laws developed from Roman times. In fact, 500 BC, when the 12 pillars of the law were developed and property ownership was codified in the law. And 2,500 years later, we have a very well-established legal system that we inherited from the European colonization where animals are owned items, they're possessions. We never quite knew how to deal with it with wild animals, and they were apportioned through permitting systems. And in South Africa, if you track it back, the bounties against top carnivores started in 1656, 4 years after Van Riebeck got here.
Why did that start?
Because where they lived in the Cape Peninsula, Rondebosch was the hotbed of leopard-human interactions, and they wanted to exterminate the animal from there.
They actually had to do that for their own safety, isn't that so? They say, well, this is our territory and we can't allow that animal.
I think it's just from a practice that came from European conquest where wild animals were wiped out, where they were in competition with people. And the state elected from 1656 right until 1968, the state ran bounties by successive governments to incentivize the extermination of leopards and lion and hyena and cheetah and all sorts of animals were incentivized to be taken out.
Okay.
Even from the late 1800s, the British colonial government created vermin hunt clubs, which were eventually run through the divisional councils right up to 1994. And in fact, our research has really illustrated the impact of that. We recently, just 2 weeks ago, published a paper where we interrogated its impact on leopard distributions in the Western Cape, where we had good data.
Yeah.
And what we know is that out of the Picketburg area, the last leopards were shot out sometime in the late 1800s.
Okay.
And right up until 1995, there was not a single leopard in the Picketburg area. And just from what I said before, the vermin hunt clubs discontinued in 1994. And in 1995, the first leopard reemerged in the Picketburg. Today, the Picketburg has the densest leopard population in the entire Western Eastern Cape. So it was a natural recolonization that occurred. There happened to be land use changes that occurred at the same time with the increased fruit industry around there. And we interrogated what was the cause of that, and it would appear that it was state management of the species that firstly caused it to disappear, and secondly, yeah, caused it to reappear.
Okay.
And this happened at the same time as government published this recent policy.
Can we go on to that just after the music again and just continue where we left off? Thank you, Boel.
SFM, the reveal van die Suid-Kaap.
Well, Dr. Boel Smits, what you're saying is so true. And, you know, for me, the real scourge started about 100 years ago when the gentry of the colonialist British, very much so in the East Africa part, it became fashionable to shoot things for hunting and to show that you're a man. I mean, that has always been through the ages, I think, to try and kill an animal to show that you're a man. But real hunting really started then, and today we call it a sport. So we are breeding animals in order to shoot them, but there is a different approach to that, and that is what Landmark is trying to do, is to get the coexistence between animals and humans. Especially predator animals and charismatic animals. Is that so?
Absolutely. We certainly are focused on rewilding the landscape and getting a more compassionate and coexistent lifestyle going. And I think that groundswell is gaining momentum, and the more we lose, the more we realize the need for it. And it certainly stems from an entitlement culture where people felt they were entitled to harvest from the public commons,
yeah,
to make it their own private possessions. And it's a cultural thing. It's deeply ingrained. It's deeply entwined with land ownership. And it's a very difficult thing to fight. And as you've probably experienced yourself, is when you stand up to that entitlement, the kickback is, yeah, vicious.
It's terrible what people think that we're entitled to do that. That this my grond, and ek gaan doen op dit wat ek wil. And never mind anything else. But there is legislation trying to curb that. But very often legislators don't listen to the scientific and to science and to people like you with your feet on the ground. Because there's a lot of land use which is agriculturally not really suitable but can be suitable for rewilding.
Yes, it is. It is an extremely frustrating field to be in. We've been for 20 years giving inputs to government policy. We have yet to see a single suggestion from our sides taken up. But, you know, it's something that we have to keep going. And I think it's public pressure that really will change these things and address them.
Yeah, let us rather control it properly and think forward rather than just destroying, and then when it is almost destroyed, then we try and bring it back to life again. This is because this seems to be a policy. We are eliminating species and trying to recover them again. This is exactly what we're trying to do at the moment.
You know, leopards are really quite a good example of that because, yeah, traditionally if a landowner complains of a so-called problem leopard, they get a destruction permit. And what, yes, we are propagating is saying, well, that leopard doesn't belong to that landowner. It belongs to all of us.
Exactly.
And really, we all need to have a voice in it. And this is what our policy recommendations are about, is that they're public goods. And the public has a right to have that protected as it is in Section 24 of our Constitution.
Well, thank you very much for you and Landmark Foundation for your efforts and also SFM's efforts to bring the message to listeners. And if we can just make a difference to one person listening to this and make people understand that we are just part of the environment and we are not boss of the environment, because we are as vulnerable as the animals that we are trying to destroy in the progress and in the, or what we call progress in inverted commas, and also the will to make money out of wild animals until there's nothing left.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity and SFM as well. We can't do this without telling the story.
Hierdie program was vir jou gebring deur Sandpiper Cottages in Bochoms Bay, weggesteek in 'n ongerepte baai in Bavaria, off the beaten track, slegs 30 km vanaf Mosselbaai. kontak Sandpiper Cottages via hulle webwerf sandpiper.co.za of per WhatsApp 081-071-6735.
Adverteer jou besigheid vandag nog op SFM. Vir meer inligting skakel SFM gerus by 044-801-7811.